Is it time to up your social media game? Then you need to talk to Kate and Ave Communications, a social media agency located right here in Edmonton, specializing in all things social media, from quality storytelling, content creation, and strategic social media management. So stop doing social media off the side of your desk. Contact Kate and Ave at kateandave.com and give them a follow on Instagram at kateandavecomms, C-O-M-M-S, for great social media content, tips, and tricks.
Hey, gang. Sorry. Welcome to the bits. Oh, wow. Nobody wanted to kick it off. And then we
Well, didn't you see me? Oh, I was swearing. Like, I went on a swearing tirade because my mic disconnected again. Oh. And then I came back like, hello.
Oh,
I'm back.
Hi, ladies.
It's okay. Welcome to the bits.
So good to see you. Oh,
this is Quinn.
This is Claire.
And this is Paulina. And we've got some things to talk about today.
Oh my God. Well, let's
maybe a little embarrassing.
No, you know what?
We tried our best.
We did what we thought was right. And listen, it hasn't completely played out yet, so we don't know, but we have some takes from just 1 week ago that may no longer be very hot takes.
Some of the takes might still be in play though. I'm standing by a couple. And I want to also say, okay, let's talk about some of the takes that are a little bit more ice cold as of last week.
Quinn, expired takes.
Yeah, expired takes. What, do you want to kick us off with that?
Let's just play them. I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to go 10-2 just because they have a bit of a softer schedule. And I think that Leon Draisaitl, as long as it is that week timeline. So just if I were to look at their schedule, maybe he's back for next Saturday against the Flames. So he might get 10 more games. So I think he averages a goal a game. I think he ends up with 59 goals, just short. If he gets to 59, he's getting 60. So I'm going with 60 goals. He gets 11 more goals. I'm going big for Leon.
I'm going to be a little bit more conservative here.
Okay.
You said 11 more goals for Draisaitl.
Yeah, to get to 60 because he's at 49 right now.
I'm going to say 8 more goals.
Okay.
And I'm going to say the record will be 8-4.
8-4. Yeah. I mean, a week can change a lot of things, especially when you're not only talking about the Edmonton Oilers, because unfortunately, some of the teams that they're chasing in the Pacific Division decided to go on absolute heaters. Like the Vegas Golden Knights have won 6 straight now.
Hate that.
They're looking pretty scary.
Hate that.
Makes them pretty tough to catch. And then the minute after the podcast aired, the LA Kings decided to go ahead and win 4 straight. And then the Oilers, on the other hand, got beat up 2 straight, 2 in a row, which I'm going to stand by my prediction of 10-2. I still think like maybe they win out the next 9. You don't know.
Love to see a tear.
I would love to see a tear going into the playoffs, but even just looking at the schedule, like they should not have gotten beaten up by Seattle. There's no reason they should have lost that game. Like that one's on them, not on me.
No, that
you're right.
You're absolutely right. There's no reason that you should have been incorrect about that particular schedule and them like not getting a beat down, because that particular game against Seattle, that's when things shifted for me a little bit in terms of like, what are we really looking at here? Because I'm usually a little less optimistic than Quinn.
You are an alarmist. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah,
you are
panic,
an Oilers
okay.
alarmist.
I am. And I'm like, Quinn, we're fucked. Yeah.
Quinn is our North Star of optimism. Mm-hmm. And
Claire, somewhere in between.
That North Star has been flickering and dimming, and I am now fully afraid.
So I like, it's funny because we, in our group chat, and after that game, Claire's like, Quinn, like, give it to me straight. Like, and fully expecting Quinn to be like, okay, now, ladies, like, let's be realistic here. Like, let's not panic, because we've gotten this come to Jesus talk from Quinn before, where it's like
multiple times.
Many times, where it's like, guys, like, relax, you're overreacting. This is where we're at. And it's always like, okay, thank you. We needed that. I was already like, no, we're fucked. And then Claire was like, Quinn, give it to us straight. And Quinn's like, I don't know. I don't have many good things to say right now. And then that's when we were like, oh, shit.
No, she said the playoff run is dead. And once you accept that in your heart,
you'll be much happier.
You'll feel a lot of freedom and you'll start enjoying it again. Something to that effect.
That was actually a great summary. I forgot I went that far. Mm-hmm. And listen, then they go and beat Calgary. Leon Draisaitl comes back. Everything feels a little bit better. So I'm maybe not as far. That's the most extreme I've ever gone, because I like to think that I'm usually pretty balanced.
It's earth shattering.
I was feeling pretty down.
You really rattled Claire, because Claire was like, no, wait, like, actually, because Claire clearly went in there to get a certain response from you.
She was looking for a bump.
Yeah. I'm already like that emotion Pixar character from that movie.
Yeah.
Like the sadness or like anxiety or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah. Quinn was like, well, I don't know if there's a playoff run happening here. And I'm like, yep, that's what I thought. I've accepted fate. I'm mourning. I'm grieving. I jumped to the worst possible conclusion. Claire went in there for a specific response, didn't get it. And then everyone was freaking out.
And now I'm afraid. Yep.
Okay, well, so...
So we've had a bit of a rebound, it sounds. One game rebound.
Well, okay, so listen. I'm not going to be as bullish. Obviously, I no longer think that they are going to win the Pacific Division. I think 10-2, as much as I want to be like, yeah, I'm going to be right. Like, not realistic. Paulina's 8-4, very realistic.
Yeah, I will say I was more conservative than you were, like less optimistic in our predictions.
I thought they were getting their mojo back. Like, you know, like winning without Connor and Leon. I was like,
yeah,
the depth guys are going to get some confidence.
Well, it's the optimist in you.
Everybody's
going to
be jazzing, right?
And they've done magical things before. So I get it.
The fucking goaltending, you guys. The drama in net and the goals against is why I have lost hope. We have been talking about goaltending too much. You can't win a Stanley Cup when you're talking about goaltending this much. I'm sorry. That's just where I'm at now. And unfortunately,
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
We have this conversation all the time.
Yeah, it's not good. And it's gone from bad to worse with Skinner being injured.
I don't know, because then Calvin Pickard played really well against Calgary, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but it was not good against Seattle. So
that's not new. It's always inconsistent. It's never been consistent. That's the problem. Yeah, Pickard can be great. He can be fine, but he can also be terrible. And that's where we've never had anything other than that.
Mm-hmm. Why is this conversation still happening? I'm frustrated by it.
Stewart's neck. That was a little scary. I know that we're a little down on Stu, but that was rough.
I have been to a few games recently, and I don't know if it's like seeing it in person that's making me a little bit more worried and concerned versus watching it on TV, but I mean, as much as the goaltending is a problem, to be fair, this was pointed out to me by my 12-year-old. Ottinger still let in 3 in the final period of that game against Dallas. So, I mean, as much as it is an issue, because I keep making the point that I wish we made a bid on Binnington. I felt like that was such a missed opportunity, and he is absolutely killing it since Four Nations.
I mean, St. Louis has won 9 in a row.
I know. But his point was, like, even with Ottinger, the Oilers came within a goal when they were dominating 4-0 in that game. Like, that score, 4-3 against Dallas, I left. There was 10 minutes left in the game, and I left. It was awful. They looked awful. And I was
And I mean, the only reason they made it close is because Dallas takes their foot off the pedal because they're up 4-0.
Right. I know. I'm just saying. It's disheartening all around. And I don't know. I mean, what needs to happen for this to be a turnaround? I think we've heard this on lots of sports media, but, you know, Jeff Skinner starting to see some fire there.
Mm-hmm.
Nugent Hopkins needs to come alive. Hyman needs to come alive. We need the injuries. Well,
I don't know if that's fair. I mean, Nuge just had a hat trick.
He is warming up. Don't get me wrong. No, but I mean, a month ago he was ice cold. So
but the thing is like, I think that's where the positive lies is that I mm-hmm. think, and we talked about this last week, is that the secondary scoring is starting to be there. And, you know, they did score some goals even in the losses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where any positive is, because once you get the two best players in the world back, I mean, we saw it Saturday with Leon.
It
was an absolute game changer. Yeah. And I stand by the fact that he will score 60 goals. He is going to get to 60 goals.
I believe that. Yeah. I mean, we've got injuries in Ekholm and McDavid that are
feeling large.
I think the chemistry of the team as a whole is a little bit off. And I think the injuries definitely impact that. And, you know, impact morale as well. So it just feels like things have been a little bit off and it hasn't really looked or felt like the same playoff team or playoff run that we were seeing last year. I just felt like there was like this momentum, this magic, and I haven't really been feeling that. So I am still not as optimistic. I'm remaining my true self as a skeptic, setting expectations low. I'm not feeling like we're going to have the same type of playoff run that we had last year. That's not how I feel. And maybe it's because I'm pregnant. I'm like, I can't really enjoy it in the same way. I'm like, oh, it's fine. They're only going to make it like two rounds. Who knows? But I'm definitely not pregnant
and I feel the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that.
So Claire, I stand by my text.
Whoa.
That if you just accept the reality, you will feel better. Well, I'm in a place of like, let's just enjoy how this plays out.
Mm. That sounds like a comfortable place to be. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I did see that just while we have been recording, Knobloch has said that McDavid and Ekholm are not joining the 4-game road trip. Sorry, Ekholm and Skinner. But then, as a little glimmer of hope, Evander Kane and Frederick are joining the team. So, you know.
On the trip. Okay. Like, defensively, Ekholm hurts me. It really hurts me.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know Ekholm's your guy, Quinn.
So, like, yeah, yeah, my number one. Yeah.
He is. But so, it's hurting the team. Like, it's obvious how needed he is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, can we talk about something else? This is depressing.
Do we want to move into a potential suicide scene and the lettering of a Duke and a Duke trademark?
Oh, what a transition. I was like, that is awful, Quinn. What are you talking? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Welcome to the most depressing episode of all time.
Okay, cue White Lotus music.
If you're just joining us,
we don't have the rights.
Yeah, we can't play that song.
The theme song's different this year, but I can't really do it.
No, we can't.
It took me years to master the first one.
Years.
Years.
I've been mastered, you that. Say.
It's been 85. Okay. Yeah. So
let's talk about White Lotus for a second.
I mean, that makes everybody feel better.
Yeah.
I would say.
We're not turning this into a White Lotus podcast.
We're
going to
talk
about
our best
White Lotus. We are going to tie it to sports adjacent activity in the outcry from Duke University.
If you were Leon Draisaitl, who do you think the killer would be on White Lotus? Who would he suspect most?
No, he probably is watching it. So I think this question could be answered.
Everyone's watching it. Okay, fine. All right. So there's a scene in The White Lotus where Timothy Ratliff.
Potential spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But also get your shit together. Like this is a show that like everyone is watching every Sunday and discussing at great length, both in office, online. Like you're going to need to catch up. So spoiler, whatever. Timothy Ratliff in an episode, I think like last 2 weeks ago, maybe two episodes ago, he is the father of in the weird family with the two brothers, and that's all I'm going to say about them, and you'll know exactly what I'm referring to. So the father is really going through it. Okay. He has committed fraud. He's in big trouble back at home.
His very rich family is about to lose everything.
He and his family, who are clearly wealthy, are in Thailand, and his life is clearly falling apart back at home and will have a lot of consequences. He decides, you know, maybe I'll take an exit strategy.
He's contemplating. He is contemplating.
He steals a gun. You can see him in the sliding door, whatever it is, staring off, depressed as shit, and he's about to end his life. And then, like, there's a scene that, like, he kind of does do it. It's a fake out. He doesn't actually, but they find him on the floor. And in that scene where he's staring out, contemplating the end of his life, he's wearing a Duke t-shirt. Now, Duke University... was not pleased about this particular brand inclusion for this type of scene. They don't like the connection that it's making, right? And they don't like the negativity around the scene being associated with Duke University.
Well,
Timothy also went to Duke, which is an important thing to note. He went to Duke at his character, and his son went to Duke, who's also a huge douche and a problem. And then they're pressuring the youngest boy to go to Duke as well. So there is also that layer to it. It's like, these are really bad people. And they also are very like vocal about the fact that they are Duke alum.
So specifically, Duke takes issue with the fact that their trademarked logo is being used in a suicide scene without permission also, which is actually crazy, because talking here, we were like, oh, we don't have the rights to the music. Can you imagine putting that, like, I mean even in marketing videos we don't have logos, so that's kind of like, crazy, like what a flex
that is. I mean, maybe it's like White Lotus, HBO show, like the hottest show kind of the last few years, like maybe they're just like, oh, we don't need to check that, like we're,
so they're quoted as saying, not only I'll add brackets, does White Lotus use our brand without permission, but in our views uses it on imagery that is troubling, does not reflect our values or who we are, and simply goes too far.
Yeah. And somebody's commented on social media, this is the most Duke thing I've ever heard. Like, with them complaining about it. I don't really know anything about Duke University, but I thought that was a really funny response that kind of went viral a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And so I'm looking at this, and they talked to some professors of law. And so this law professor says in this story on the Sporting News, on one hand, I understand that Duke is trying to disassociate themselves from this, but on the other hand, they're drawing attention to it.
100%.
David Olson, 100%. An associate professor of Boston College Law School, agreed, a trademark does not give one control over how others reference one's brand, including in critical ways, he told the newspaper. So Duke has not said that they want to take any legal action, but I don't know if they'd really have any grounds to stand on.
So Duke probably wanted to just make a statement about it, be like, by the way, like, we don't like this, and we don't think that this is a fair association. Like, people who go to Duke aren't suicidal. I'm paraphrasing. They didn't really say that, but like, they probably felt like they needed to say something, but wouldn't actually, it would be silly to take legal action. I think in that scenario, it just would be, but I also agree that it is bringing more attention to that correlation, whereas I did not pay that much attention to
Same.
The Duke
That's
t-shirt.
Why it's like, this is the most Duke thing you could do. So, objectively, thinking about communications. Like they could have had fun with it. It is the most popular prominent show on television right now. Maybe just say nothing or say something cheeky about it.
Or use it in an appropriate way of suicide prevention.
Yeah.
You know, even better. Like that's even better a pretty than trying easy to make a joke. Spin
yeah.
is to now offer your students.
Hey, we're here for you.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Now, like know, you know, like turn it into something that makes you look so good. Like or that's aligns PR with 101, your values. Right?
If you're, that's yes. perfect. Well said by the communications director. You know, like why not dig into what those values are instead of saying it doesn't align with our values. And that's what's so funny is like, sorry, rich white guys committing financial crimes are not part of your values.
Like, yeah, they could have just been like, hey, we're big White Lotus fans. We couldn't help but notice this. You know, just so you know, Duke is there for their students. Like, you know, speaking of suicide, like, yeah, I agree.
What an opportunity.
That would have been a really good spin.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and now we have decided to offer for the rest of the semester or into next semester free counseling for students at Duke.
How and like yeah, huge that would have been for Duke. Like what?
Imagine the spin on that. How much people boost? Would fall in love with Duke?
Yes, I think that
everything.
I think they did do that, just so you know, on a social post, but it wasn't their public statement about it.
Okay, yeah.
Because what caught,
so everyone missed that part, basically.
They got a little antsy and went out a little too fast on the comms rather than like taking a breath and being like, wait.
Totally.
How do we make this a positive rather than just like drawing attention to ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you know where I think that this is going to have take on more life? I think that image of Timothy Ratliff looking out of the window in his Duke shirt, that kind of image that's been going around. When Duke gets kicked out of March Madness and Duke fans, that
when they lose,
that image is probably going to pop off on social media.
Oh, that's going to be the biggest meme that there is.
I mean, or it's going to be not even like Duke fans. It's going to be people like who aren't Duke fans of like Duke fans right now. I mean, it's right there. They're gonna. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
I mean, now that's an extra awkward one. Just considering what Duke has now done.
Right.
Well, they brought this.
Yeah.
They brought this.
I don't even know.
They brought it into the conversation, really. I mean,
Duke entered the conversation.
Duke entered the chat, and it was like, Duke, I don't think you want to enter the chat. Like,
no, probably, this isn't the chat. You want
to
be in.
Sometimes you don't need to say anything.
Yeah. Say less.
Anyway, I just want you guys to know I am currently leading in my March Madness bracket, and I thought March Madness was over, but I found out yesterday that it has not ended, and I am in fact in the lead. So
no, most of it is actually played in April.
Go Gators!
I bet that's not annoying for anyone else in that bracket of yours.
I think it would be if March Madness wasn't just like such a fucking dart throw anyway. Like nobody knows how to predict March Madness. It's all luck. Anyway, that was really nice news.
How's Duke doing?
They're still in. They are the number one seed, and they're still in. They're in the final four.
Going to be in the final four. I think I even predicted them to be in the final two, but for Gators to win it all. So go Gators.
Mm. All right.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny. When you don't have a bracket, March Madness, not much interest to this gal.
No.
And it's funny because the second your final four, your last two are eliminated, you're like, man, I don't really care anymore. So like, Paulina, I totally understand like being somewhat invested right now.
Well, now I'm back invested because I was doing so bad at the beginning. I was like, this is over for me. And then I didn't realize that I had made such a comeback. So now I'm like back in it.
I just don't care.
Fair. I get it.
Because I don't have a bracket. Like this is
the only way to care is to have a bracket. In my opinion,
100% or go to that school.
Yeah. Yeah. For March Madness, college basketball specifically, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to tell you guys about something I care about.
You care about White Lotus.
Yeah, I do.
Is it another? Is
and
it
the others?
Switching gears to to something that I caught my eye. And as the local ski gal of the group, which I'll take that, Lindsey Vonn last week with her huge comeback podium win. For those of you who don't know, Lindsey Vonn is a World Cup most
winningest,
one of the winning, most winningest,
winningest,
yeah.
No, second most, only to yeah. Mikaela Shiffrin in recent years. But she was for a long time the most winning World Cup ski downhill ski racer, and she came out of retirement at 40 years old, the oldest woman to podium ever. And she's just so badass, and it was such an emotional win. And we as a female podcast, we absolutely have to talk about how big of a deal this is.
I think the absolute world of Lindsey Vonn, because I can wholeheartedly say that she is the absolute toughest woman alive. You guys, how many injuries do you think she had from 2006 until she announced her retirement in 2019?
Okay, well, if before answering that, have you seen a Super G race? Because
no.
It is terrifying.
Well,
they
that's
are
I
going yeah. at crazy speeds, flying down a mountain. So
I don't know
surprised.
How people do it. Like, that
honest,
is terrifying.
I don't watch it because it actually scares me so bad and the injuries scare me so bad.
Yeah.
So that's why I have so much respect for Lindsay, because it just like nothing scares her, because she's
know,
had
yeah.
insane injuries.
I know zero
insane
parents.
Insane crashes.
That want their kids to be professional Super G racers. But to answer your question, I don't know, Quinn, like how many injuries in her career, in her pro career?
Like major injuries in her pro career. From 2006 to February 2019, when she announced her retirement.
2006, geez. I mean, it's got to be like 10.
Paulina, do you have a guess?
I would assume you're getting injured like every race, so I'm going to go 20 injuries.
Okay. No, you know what? That is fair. Because we just also talked about how
she's good at it. Just
terrifying
to clarify,
this is. Yeah,
Paulina, she's good at it.
I know, but she also clearly has no fear.
Right.
Oh yeah. So 2006, a hip injury. After that, her two knees got absolutely mangled. Knee injury 2007. Three knee injuries in 2013. That was her right knee. In 2015, broke her ankle in training. 2016, tore her left knee up. 2018, left knee again. Broke her arm in 2018. And then eventually had a knee replacement in 2024. And is now in 2025, 40 years old, and back on the ski hill and winning gold medals.
So I counted 12.
That is 11, and then a 12 with the knee replacement.
Yeah.
She has had at least 9 surgeries. Nobody even has the full number.
So
that is a prediction that she's had at least 9 surgeries.
So Price is Right rules. I actually win.
We should do a whole episode on female knee injuries, and how they're 2 to 8 times more likely to tear their ACLs, than men. But yeah, I mean, it's just such an insane story, especially when you think about what it means to compete at this level and what it feels like to be 40 years old. The drive to push through all that injury adversity to begin with, then to retire. When did she retire?
February 2019, because of injury.
2019, because of her knees. And then to come back, like, to have that push and come back, and also so many naysayers in the community of like, what is she doing? Like, I can't even imagine all the negative stuff she must have heard, like even just the chitter chatter online, to come back and not just do well, but to podium is incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's beyond words. I missed a concussion in there in 2011. And like, when we talk about skiing injuries, like they're spectacular crashes that could take your life. Like, this isn't just like, oh, oops, I like rolled my ankle. Like, you are blowing through a fence at 100 kilometers an hour and getting tangled up and airlifted out of things. Like, she has been taken by helicopter for her injuries. And you come back and you want to come back.
And think about this too. Like, she was competing at the Vancouver 2010 and she's Olympics and she's still in the mix.
Oh, wait, 2006 goes back to.
I know. So, yeah. I mean, you're for sure, if you didn't know all this, you've heard of her. If you hear the name Lindsey Vonn, you might be like, oh, wait, I feel like I know that name. This is why, because she is an absolute like legend in,
she also,
in the racing community.
Just and she, fun fact, dated PK Subban and Tiger Woods.
Did you know they were engaged for a short period of time?
Yeah.
She left him. Let's be very clear. She came to her senses.
It's important that you all know that she left
she
him.
She chose to leave PK Subban.
I don't know if she has the best taste in men.
Tiger Woods?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's now dating a Trump? Ew, gross.
Oh, yeah, Tiger God. Woods was first. She dated Tiger Woods first, then she dated PK Subban later.
Yeah.
That's some toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
I mean, she's like, listen, I've gone full speed into a tree, the trunk of a tree. Like, what's dating a problematic man?
Yeah, like, what kind of adversity can I not come over? Yeah. I can do this.
The tree sounds better than dating one of those guys, to be
honest.
Lindsey
Vonn chooses the tree. Oh.
And what's interesting too with her is that she does downhill, she does super G, and she does slalom. And super G, which is what she podiumed in, is not even like, I mean, she's good at all of it, but she hasn't won her most titles in super G. Anyway, sorry, I'm still obsessed about all of that. Mm-hmm. I realized we were talking about the men.
Nope, that's okay. Shout out Lindsey Vonn.
Sorry, I just wanted to mention, her dating history. It felt somewhat relevant.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not to her success, obviously. Just
well, and then it got me thinking, like, okay, if Tiger Woods is dating Vanessa Trump, that's her name, right? Vanessa?
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Ugh.
That last name.
You know who's not a Republican? Lindsey Vonn. Yeah. She
of course
has,
not.
She actually.
She doesn't give Republican vibes to
in
me
Trump's,
at all.
Yeah. Trump's first term in 2017, she came out and said in Pyeongchang when they said, you know, if you win, you'll probably get an invite. And essentially her sentiment was, I'm good. Thanks.
I won't be going.
I love that.
I'm good. Yeah.
Just like the Eagles. These are our people. These are good people.
These are our people. All right.
What a badass bitch.
I just think I can't think, like, listen, I ski a decent amount. And you know, mm-mm. Day three, these knees are barking. And I can't even imagine. Like, it's like even thinking about Christine Sinclair, who's the same age as me.
Yeah.
And it's like, how? I'm just so impressed.
I gotta know.
So
some people
impressed.
Are just like, they're just built differently too. Like, I feel like I had this issue with knees on a snowboard when I was like 17, and I was like, there's just, it just, I was not built to be an athlete, clearly.
Well,
or
and I do know that
I'm not elite.
Their whole life is built around it, but it's
training
just still,
and keeping those things, you know, as healthy as
Lindsay,
possible. Absolutely.
To retire and then come back and to come back like that.
Well, be forced to retire. Like, she just was so not done. Like, obviously, right? Which is so cool. She's got such insane perseverance. It's beyond words.
That part is so interesting to me about the last, you know, old lady, I'll call it, to podium in that sport that held the record until she came back and podium was in 2008, and she was 35. So she just like blew it out of the water. Yeah, that sport especially is just so, so hard on your body.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Okay, ladies. Well, Let's see what the next week gives us in terms of the Oilers.
Nice to finish on a positive note instead of feeling so depressed. But, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I'm kind of taking like Quinn's advice a little bit. I'm chill.
Just enjoy what we're about to be given, whatever
Look,
that
AI
is.
AI said 2028, so we've still got some time anyway.
I mean, AI also said that Evan Bouchard could win the Norris this year.
Well, AI was talking about your cat, Evan Bouchard, who has more of a chance as of right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, ladies. We'll see you on another time.
See you on another time.
Bye, girls.
Bye.